We'll be reading this morning in the book of Daniel, the 6th chapter, if you'd like to turn there. Please stand for the reading of the word this morning. Daniel chapter 6, verse 1. It pleased Darius to appoint 120 satraps to rule throughout the kingdom, with 3 administrators over them, one of whom was Daniel. The satraps were made accountable to them so that the king might not suffer loss. Now Daniel was distinguished. Daniel distinguished himself among the administrators and the satraps by his exceptional qualities that the king planned to set him over the whole kingdom. At this, the administrators and the satraps tried to find grounds for charges against Daniel and his conduct of government affairs. But they were unable to do so. They could find no corruption in him because he was trustworthy and neither corrupt or negligent. Finally, these men said, "We will never find any basis for charges against this man Daniel unless it has something to do with the law of his God." So these administrators and satraps went as a group to the king and said, "May King Darius live forever. The royal administrator, prefects, satraps, advisors, and governors have all agreed that the king should issue an edict and enforce the decree that anyone who prays to any god or human being during the next 30 days, except to you, your majesty, shall be thrown into the lion's den. Now, your majesty, issue the decree and put it in writing so that it cannot be altered, in accordance with the law of the Medes and the Persians, which cannot be repealed." So King Darius put the decree in writing. Now, when Daniel learned that the decree had been published, he went home to his upstairs room, where the windows opened toward Jerusalem. 3 times a day, he got down on his knees and prayed, giving thanks to his God, just as he had done before. Then these men went as a group and found Daniel praying and asking God for help. So they went to the king and spoke to him about his royal decree. "Did you not publish a decree that during the next 30 days anyone who prays to any god or human being except you, your majesty, would be thrown into the lion's den?" The king answered, "The decree stands in accordance with the law of the Medes and the Persians, but cannot be repealed." Then they said to the king, "Daniel, who is one of the exiles from Judah, pays no attention to you, your majesty, or to the decree you put in writing. He still prays 3 times a day." When the king heard this, he was greatly distressed. He was determined to rescue Daniel and made every effort until sundown to save him. Then the men went as a group to King Darius and said to him, "Remember, your majesty, that according to the law of the Medes and Persians, your decree or edict that the king issued cannot be changed." So the king gave the order, and they brought Daniel and threw him into the lion's den. The king said to Daniel, "May your God, whom you serve continually, rescue you." A stone was brought and placed over the mouth of the den, and the king sealed it with his own signet ring and with the rings of his nobles, so that Daniel's situation might not be changed. Then the king returned to his palace and spent the night without eating and without any entertainment being brought into him, and he could not sleep. At the first light of dawn, the king got up and hurried to the lion's den. When he came near the den, he called to Daniel in an anguished voice, "Daniel, servant of the living God, has your God, whom you serve continually, been able to rescue you from the lions?" Daniel answered, "May the king live forever. My God sent his angel, and he shut the mouth of the lions. They have not hurt me, because I was found innocent in his sight. Nor have I done any wrong before you, your majesty." The king was overjoyed and gave orders to lift Daniel out of the den. And when Daniel was lifted from the den, no wound was found on him because he had trusted in his God. At the king's command, the men who had falsely accused Daniel were brought in and thrown into the lion's den along with their wives and children. And before they reached the floor of the den, the lions overpowered them and crushed all their bones. Amen.
Well, when I was a kid, this was one of my favorite stories. Generally, we always talked about how It's amazing how God can even close the mouths of lions to save his people. And that's generally the message that you get when you read this passage. But as I was reading through this and I really began to think about the character qualities that God wants to see in us, something jumped out of this passage here that I just have to mention to you. And it's not what you might think I would pick out of here. It's something maybe a little bit kind of one of those transitional statements that gets left behind that nobody really talks about. And here's the one I want to talk about, and that's verse 10. And it says this: "Now when Daniel learned that the decree had been published, he went home to his upstairs room where the windows opened toward Jerusalem. 3 times a day he got down on his knees and he prayed, giving thanks to his God just as he had done before." If you follow the story, Daniel actually heard about the lion's den prior to this moment. And his response was really kind of interesting, because I think for a lot of us that find out we're going to be thrown in the lion's den, I think we would probably have a few things to say about that. We would probably talk to people about this upcoming issue happening, but he didn't respond like that at all. Actually, Daniel finds himself doing the very same thing he's always done. Nothing in his physical life changed, nothing in his spiritual life changed. He continued to do the things that he always does. So when we look at his life and we think about what he's always done, we see his normal life was really marked by submission, because he found himself on his knees before God a lot. As a matter of fact, he did it 3 times a day. And this goes back to kind of a tradition in the culture, is that that's what they did. So by no way is that theology today, saying you better get on your knees and open your windows toward Jerusalem, because that's how we do it. That's how they did it back then. By the way, one of the reasons why they faced Jerusalem is because when Solomon built the temple, he also prayed to the Lord and said, if anyone gets exiled out of this land and ends up in a place where they're in captivity or they're somewhere else, Lord, I want you to hear their prayers as long as they turn toward you and toward your house. And so that was really kind of how it worked out. So they always left the windows open, they looked toward Jerusalem, and they prayed. And so we get kind of a picture of Daniel doing this, and he did it every day. His life was really characterized by prayer, having this conversation with God, and his life was also characterized by gratefulness, which is what I want to talk to you about today. Kind of an interesting response to hearing some pretty bad news, right? Lord, I just want to thank you for everything in my life that's right. I don't know that that's really the way we approach God when we get some really rough news, something really tragic getting ready to happen. I mean, I'm sure none of us are getting thrown into the lion's den. I don't think we even have one locally, you know? But if we did, I don't know that our response would be, Lord, thank you for everything that's right in my life today. But that's really where he was. And so this whole idea of gratefulness is really making known to God and other people in what ways they've benefited our lives. And so gratefulness is interesting, because it has this way of like helping us keep perspective in life, because oftentimes our problems become really big. They become much bigger than they really are, and when we look at it in terms of overall life, we find that our life is like this bowl of marshmallows right here, and our issues are usually something like this, okay? But when we look at our life, and we look at everything, you know, if we're really honest and do an assessment of what God has done, we have been blessed beyond imagination, haven't we? I mean, with our families, with our homes, with our cars, with our marriages, with all these things in our life, God just continues to pour out these blessings. And when we look at our possessions, we look at our minds, we look at our bodies and our relationship with God and our relationship with other people and the love that we have in our lives, and the list goes on and on, we just have to admit there's a whole lot of good things going on, isn't there? But when issues happen in life, they tend to get really big, and they tend to kind of overshadow the good things. And this was true for Daniel in this case, not the overshadowing part, but the fact that he was really, really blessed. He had wisdom that was much different than other people. I mean, one of the reasons why he continued to move up in the hierarchy of the government was because he had wisdom that was beyond what anyone else had. And he was such a special man. He could do things no one else could do. It was clear that God's favor and God's hand was upon his life. And so everywhere he went, he found himself in leadership. And so God had blessed him in authority, he blessed him in position and prestige, and of course everything he ever wanted he had, and all of his needs were filled. And we can say that he had a pretty sweet life, you know. Everything that he really wanted he had. But there was a problem. The problem was that the rule was that anyone who worships anyone other than King Darius gets thrown into a ring of hungry lions. That's a problem, right? We find that it's like in the midst of all this blessing that he has, he also has this threat against his life that, you know, tends to kind of steal the joy away, you know? And I think sometimes that's the way it works for us. And, you know, I've had some bad days. I've heard some bad news. I've gone through some bad things. But honestly, nothing as bad as a lion's den. I don't think I've ever faced that before. And, you know, his immediate response was that he remembered how many blessings he had in his life. But he also has this death sentence at the same time. And so he had some stuff he had to deal with. And for everyone here today, we have stuff we have to deal with. There are things in our lives we don't like, things that we're having to deal with, stuff that's happening to us that we have no control over. And those issues of life continue to exist. And so we all have a few of those things out of the bunch of life that really we're not too thrilled about. But for him, the issue was, and these were kind of the few marshmallows that were giving him a few issues, is that his security was threatened of his life. You know, he wasn't sure if he was actually going to have a life, and dismemberment was on the table. I think that's interesting because not everybody has to deal with that, right? But I would imagine that's a really big marshmallow. If there's one in there a little bit bigger than the rest, dismemberment's the one, okay? And so he finds himself having to deal with this stuff, but it's what he did with the 5% of his life that I think is worth talking about today. And here's the thing about him is that his response to God about this 5% of an issue was to focus on the 95% of good. You know, it was like he was living in this 95% of life. And every one of us has these issues. We have this 5% problem and we have this 95% of just sweetness, right? But we tend to kind of go back to the issues and we tend to live in the issues of life. But when we look at his life, we don't see that at all. We see him, as he goes through this, being the guy that says, if someone asked him, how are you doing today? Oh man, I got to show you how blessed I am. I mean, he had this issue, right? We all have the issue. But instead of the issue being at the forefront of his life and him saying to everyone, you won't believe what I got going on right now, he is focusing on this. And so he's in this place where he says, God, more than anything, I know that they have a death threat out. I know they want to throw me in the lion's den. I know I have some issues going on right now, but I want to thank you for the 95% of my life that's incredible right now. And I think this is something that is a spiritual discipline within us, something that's a focus that's missing in a lot of Christians today. It's missing in a lot of people today because we tend to want to kind of live here. But when we look at his life, we see that he was just grateful for the 95%. And I can tell you that nothing kills depression and anxiety and hopelessness like focusing on the bowl full of marshmallows. You know what I mean? But we tend to not go there. We tend to live in this place where when things don't go the way we want them to, the only thing we can focus on is just the issues of life, and we're not focusing on this. But this right here destroys depression better than anything else. You know that? It destroys anxiety. It destroys hopelessness. It destroys a lot of things that control people in and out of the church. And, you know, if he hadn't focused on that, I think he would have had some despair. He might have even had a little insanity in his life. And he might have even had a little broken record syndrome. I don't know if you've ever been exposed to that before. Anybody had broken record syndrome where you have the issue and you're like, you just want to go and tell people about the issue? I got this issue in my life and it's really bad. And I know it's only 5%, but it's really, really bad stuff. Patty, I got this issue and it's really, really bad. And see how bad it is? And then, Marianne, this is really bad. You see this 5%? It's horrible. Look at it. It's so bad. And it's like we go around and we tell everybody. We just can't stop talking about the 5%. We become like the 5% people. You know what I mean? We got all this stuff going on over here, but this is all we got to talk about. You know what I mean? And so it's easy to live in that place. But gratefulness kills the tendency to meditate on these things, the things that are wrong. You know, it keeps us in a place of happiness in the midst of trials when we can be grateful. Yet gratefulness is not usually where we begin the process when we're dealt something tough in life. I mean, isn't that true, or am I just talking about me? But man, that's not where we start. We generally, when we hear something we don't want to hear, something's not going quite right, we tend to want to fall apart. Is that right? Do we just fall apart just initially, just for a minute? We just have our moment, you know what I mean? Like, excuse me, I'm going to process this, I'm going to fall apart, I'm going to cry, I'm going to do all that. And then we sometimes go to the place where we expect the worst, because if the doctor's told you you have a medical problem, it must be cancer and you must have 2 weeks to live, right? Isn't that just kind of the way it works? People tend to kind of go to that bad place. And a lot of times when we have these kinds of issues in life, we go to our close friends and we want to tell them what's going on. Then we go to everybody else we can find who will listen and we tell them too. And then we post it on Facebook just so we get the other 700 people we didn't catch at Walmart, right? And so we continue to talk about this stuff and talk about this stuff and talk about this stuff. And our life begins to be completely surrounded by the 5% of issues that we have. And it's so interesting that even when people sometimes ask us, how are you doing? It's like we have this downcast look. Have you ever noticed like your posture and your eyes and everything changes when you're going through something kind of heavy? You're just like this, you know what I mean? Well, how are you doing? Didn't you hear? And we use the drama eyes and everything. Didn't you hear? You know, I've got this issue going on here. Let me talk about the 5% one more time, please. And it's like, you know, we live in that place. And I make light of it because if we can't laugh at ourselves a little bit for the way we do things, I think that it makes life a little hard when you can't laugh, okay? The only reason I'm making fun of this a little bit today is because I've lived here for a lot of years and I'm over with it now. I'm done. You know what I mean? Like, I don't want to live here anymore. Anybody tired of this right here? Anybody? Okay, so like we've lived in this place. We get so busy communicating about the 5% that we forget about the 95% that's still in the bowl that we call life. And like nobody's really living. And you know, the Bible talks about us living in the abundance. And the abundance happens over here. You know what I mean? It's everything God's ever poured out for your life. This isn't abundance. Satan brings this junk in life. You know what I mean? This is not abundance. But a lot of times people live in that place. And there are so many Christians that define their life by that 5%. Now, I want to say something here, and I want you to hang in there with me, okay? Because this here is not necessarily what everybody wants to hear. But I need to be straight with you because I feel like God told me to say this. There are a lot of these 5% moments in life. There are a lot of things that we go through. There are some of these you went through 10 years ago. There's some that you went through 5 years ago. Maybe some you went through last year. And we tend to allow these things to control life, but we also allow them to become a part of who we are. And let me explain how that happens. There are times where we go through issues that we don't know what to do with, and as we go through them and we wear them out, we put them in a backpack and we carry them with us. And so we have lots of 5% moments in life that we carry. And they keep coming up. And they continue to control your life, even though there were some sad moments. Something I want you to know about those moments in life, that Satan brought moments of death, he brought moments of destruction, he brought issues into your life, and they were not of God. Can we agree with that? Because Satan is the author of death and destruction in life. But we tend to allow the emotions of past times where we had a little brush with Satan continue to be a part of our life. There are times that we've lost loved ones and we continue to celebrate their death. And I can tell you one thing, I will never celebrate something that Satan did in my life to try to destroy me or any of my family. I will not do it. I'm not going to continue to memorialize dates where Satan took a shot at me and it hurt me badly. I will not memorialize that. I will not elevate anything that Satan ever did in my life to try to destroy me. So every one of those 5% moments that I had, I refuse to lift them up in the air and say that defines me anymore. And I'm not sure if this hits anybody where they live today. But there are some people today that are still controlled by the pain of the past, and they're still controlled by a 5% moment they had 10 or 15 years ago. And it's time to let those things go and say they will no longer control my life anymore. You guys with me today?
Yes.
I refuse to elevate loss and death and broken dreams and broken personal brokenness and memorialize any date associated with it. Because if I go back real hard, I can go back to those moments that happened where I've had some of the greatest pain of my life. And I can go and I can bring them up and I can even talk about them every year when they roll around. And I refuse to do that because Satan did that in my life. God didn't. And at some point, we need to learn to elevate the very act and the very emotions of God in our life before we elevate anything Satan's ever done. Satan has no place in our life, and he never gets elevated. And the works that he does to destroy me will not be talked about anymore. That's a powerful truth. Do you know that? You know, the message seems a little simple today. But even within the simplicity of the truth, you'll find things that'll set you free. You know, it's easy to be defined and controlled by troubles and to be completely blind to the rest of your life. You know, Daniel could have been wrecked by the news about the lion's den. He could have called all his friends and said, "You won't believe what they're getting ready to do to me. I'm the number one person in the land, short of the king himself. And this is what they've decided to do, and I can tell you it's unfair, and we need to stand up as a people and make sure this doesn't happen to me." He could have gone that direction, but he didn't give any airtime to that. He continued to be the person he's always been. And he could have closed his windows when he prayed and said, "I'm going to make sure they don't see me praying anymore. I'm going to make sure they don't hear me. I'm going to talk to God under my breath because I don't want to do that. I don't want anybody to catch what's happening. He could have done all that, but he said, I will not change anything physically. I will not change anything spiritually because Satan has no place in my life and he will not win. There was something in his heart that he understood that. And he didn't walk around downcast waiting for someone to ask him what's wrong. I have a feeling that the issue that he faced in his life had no bearing on his eyes or his posture. He didn't walk around hunched over. He didn't walk around in any way where anybody knew anything was wrong because he serves a mighty God just as we do today. And you know, the cool thing about him is he chose to walk around in the 95% of goodness, you know? He really did. He was living in the 95% of his life. And I wonder sometimes what would happen if that's how we lived life. You know, it's really hard for people who look into a church, they look into Christians' lives today, and they watch them walk around carrying this and talking about this and acting like everybody else. I mean, how cool would it be that as Christians go through issues in life and tragedy in life, that the first thing they have to do is say, God, I want to thank you for everything that you've done in my life, for every blessing you've ever given me, for my family and for everything, because this is all I got to talk about right now. But that's not what happens, is it? A lot of times the talk is about this. You know, if I were to leave you with anything from Daniel's life today that would be really valuable to you, it would be God has called you to live in the 95% of abundance that he's put in your life. And I can tell you the other 5% of the issues are from Satan, and we don't even need to worry about those things. Because we serve a God who made the whole bowl of your life possible, you know? There's part of his character here that chooses to elevate the blessings of God and not the distortions of Satan that really draws me in. And you know, we read that story and we think about how amazing God is to have stopped his death and to have worked everything out. But in the process of the story, we never want to miss really what's happening within the man, because there's something here we need to get a hold of. When we go through difficult times in life, and we've had a lot of them, we don't always have this issue all settled in our hearts. And you know, there are times where people will come in and say, this is what's happening in my life. This is the devastation that's happening. This is the tragedy that's happening right now. And you know the last thing they want to hear? Well, you know, there's a lot of good things happening too. You got to see the goodness in life too. They're like, I don't want to talk about that right now because I'm in some serious pain. You know what the issue is that they never really resolved this issue beforehand. You know, we've got to have this issue resolved. We've got to know who we are before tragedy hits and issues of life happen, because here's the thing, life continues to deal them out. Like, as soon as this 5%'s gone, there's going to be another 5%. I don't say that to be negative, like, you know, bad stuff's happening all the time, but that's just the reality of the world we live in, that there are bad things that happen all the time. But here's the thing, we need to be really secure in our hearts and understand this truth right here, that there is 95% of this life that God gave us that's filled with abundance that we're supposed to live in. And the only response that we have to issues in life is, God, I want to thank you, and I have so much gratitude for what you've poured out in my life. I don't even want to talk about that 5%. You guys follow me today?
Yes.
Because this right here, I know this hits people where they live because we keep doing this, right? The reason I know we keep doing this is because I counsel a lot of people. And I had a lot of these years in my life. I spent a lot of my years talking about this right here. You know, all kinds of issues I had in my life, and I worked them over and over and over to the point where I just made myself tired and exhausted from it. And when I look at Daniel's life and I look at how he went through something so much more difficult than I'll ever face in my life, I see his response and I see his strength and I see how he says, God, like even in the midst of death and everything else, Lord, I just want to thank you. I just want to thank you because that's where my heart is right now. I don't know, is this something that you're even interested in, guys? To say, I just want to get my heart in a right place because I want to be focused here, because when the next thing happens, I want my first place to be, Lord, I want to talk about this right now. And if anybody wants to ask what's going on in my life, even though I have a few issues, and by the way, I have a few issues, and you guys probably do too, we pick up the bowl, we don't pick up the problem, and then we'll have a little conversation. That the next time something happens, even including death, destruction, tragedy, whatever the case is, that the only thing I want to really talk to you about is not like this Christian-y thing, like I'm really blessed and I just want to tell everybody how blessed I am. You know, that's not what we're talking about. I want to talk about specifics about what God has done in my life and who he really is. Those are the words I want to come out of my mouth in the midst of a tragedy. That God is amazing. He has given me everything. He's the only one who has given me the ability to continue standing on my feet, because He is my strength, not this world. My circumstances are not my strength. God is my strength. So it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter which ones He chooses to mess up in my life. It doesn't matter if He chooses to take my family out, whatever He wants to do. It doesn't matter anymore, because God is my strength, not my family. My family is my blessing, and I love my family, but they are not my strength. And when we become so strong and so set on the fact that we focus on what's right in our lives, and we live a life of gratitude toward God, our whole focus and the way we deal with tragedy and issues in life totally changes. Nothing shakes us. Because Satan can throw any darts he wants to, and it doesn't matter. That's where I want to be. Isn't that where you want to be? Because you see, when Jesus Christ comes back for His church, He wants to come back for a stable church, not one that rides the waves of circumstances. That's who He's called us to be. Can we bow our heads and close our eyes for a moment today? There may be some of you here today, you think, you know what, I have been the one who talked about these issues in my life, and I've been in this place where I've let my circumstances control things, but I will no longer do that, and I want God to show me what it's like to live in the 95% of life. If that's where you're at today, if you could just lift your hand where you're at, I want to pray for you today. Praise God. Praise God. Father, I thank You for everyone who's raised their hand today, every raised heart to You today. Lord, You know where we are. You know how we function and how we operate, Lord. Lord, I pray that there is nothing that Satan can do in our lives to cause us to focus on that. Lord, help us to never elevate His work in our life one more time, to never memorialize anything He's ever done. Lord, I pray right now that we celebrate life. We celebrate everything that You've ever done in our life. We celebrate the 95% of life that's absolutely amazing. Lord, we choose to elevate You. Lord, I pray that You help us to live in this place of gratitude. Lord, that we thank You for all that You've done in our life. Lord, that we're not focused on what's wrong, Lord, but we're focused on what's right. Lord, so that when the issues of life come and the storms come, Lord, that we no longer fall on our faces and cry out, Lord, that we find ourselves standing firm and saying, but I got to tell you about my God. I got to tell you how incredible He is, and I've got to tell you about what He's done in my life. Lord, I pray from this moment on that we no longer give airtime to anything Satan's ever done to destroy us. That we don't continue to go around telling everybody about what's wrong and continue to show them what's messed up. Because, Lord, it is not representative of who we are in You. Lord, we no longer define ourselves by this 5% of issues, Lord. We define ourselves by who we are in You and the blessings that You've poured out into our lives, Lord. Lord, I thank You and I praise You for all that You've done here today. Lord, shift our hearts toward this. Help us to solidify this message in our hearts, Lord, so that when we go through the next issue, Lord, we don't find ourselves falling apart and telling everybody we possibly can and wrapping our lives around the issue of life. Lord, we firmly stand in Your truth and all that You've done in our lives, Lord. We thank You and praise You in Jesus' name. Amen. Can we continue with our heads bowed and eyes closed for just a moment? There may be some here today who say, I've never accepted Jesus Christ as my personal Savior. I've never allowed Him to be Lord of my life, but I want to see what He can do in my life. I want to have that kind of strength. I want to have that kind of stability. And if that's where you're at today and you say, I'm ready to make this decision for Christ, if you would just lift your hand today, I want to pray for you today and lead you to the Lord. Is there anyone here today? Thank you. Anyone else here today? Praise You, Jesus. Anyone else? I just want to lead you in this prayer between you and God today. Father God, I come before You. I accept Your Son, Jesus Christ, into my life. Lord, I'm sorry for the way that I've lived. But today I give my life to You, and I ask that You change me from the inside out. Lord, I pray that You show me who You want me to be and give me the strength and obedience to walk it out. I want to build a relationship with You. I thank You for Your Son, Jesus. And I accept Him today. In the name of Jesus Christ, I pray. Amen. And we thank the Lord for what He's done here today. Praise God. Praise God.
Thank you for the word today, Pastor Steve. If prayer team, if you could start working your way to the front, please. We're going to have a time for prayer this morning after talk about a couple things that are going on. If you take your bulletin home, you'll look and you'll see that there's a lot going on in the life of the church. Tonight we have a recovery meeting. Wednesday night service, Thursday night discipleship. Then Easter's just around the corner. 3 weeks. I missed that first service. I thought it was 2 weeks. But 3 weeks till Easter, we'll have an Easter sunrise service. There'll be more about that pretty soon. But any of you that would want prayer this morning, there will be a prayer team up here to pray with you and to pray for you. Awesome message today. Do not want to live in 5%. Do not want to be there. And one of the things I have to do to stay out of there is just come to the Lord and ask Him to help me with that. I can't do it by myself. So there will be people up here to pray for you after the service. I'm going to pray to close out the service. Ask if you would leave quietly as people will be praying. And God bless you. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day. We thank you for your word, Father God. We thank you for the truth that Pastor Steve has brought to us today, Lord. Father, I pray blessings over each and every person here today as they go out, Father, that your blessings would be poured out upon them, Father God, that this message would stick in people's hearts today, Father, that change occurs because of what's happened here today, Lord. Father, we just love you so much and thank you for all that you do in Jesus' name. Amen.